So this is the third Sunday of Advent, which is to celebrate joy. So last Sunday, the candle of peace was lit, and we light it, and the candle of hope, again, as we remember that Christ will come again and bring to the world everlasting peace.
The third candle of Advent is the candle of joy. It reminds us of the joy that Mary felt when the angel Gabriel told her that a special child would be born to her, a child who would save and deliver his people.
God wants us all to have joy. The angel who announced to the shepherds that Jesus had been born told them, "Do not be afraid. I am bringing you good news of a great joy for all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord."
We light this candle to remember that Christ brings the promise of a new life, a life in which the blind receive sight, the lame walk, and the prisoners are set free. We light it to remember that he is the bringer of true and everlasting joy. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the joy you bring us. Help us prepare our hearts for this gift. Bless our worship. Help us to hear and to do your word. We ask it in the name of the one born in Bethlehem. Amen.
All right. It's good to see you. How are you? All right. As I always say, you might say, "Well, I'm not doing all right," but that's okay, because if you're a follower of Jesus, you're still all right. All right. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's the beauty of following Christ, is that even in the midst of great difficulties or challenges, that we are okay. It is well with our soul. And as long as our soul is directed at the Lord Jesus Christ. So, hey, today is the third Sunday of Advent, and this Sunday we're going to consider what it means, as we just heard about in the reading or the lighting of the candles. This is the Sunday of joy, speaking about joy. But this year we don't want to just talk about joy or focus only on our own joy, which is what we often tend to do. We want to talk about how we can put that joy into action. In other words, how can we share the joy that God gives us with others? And this is what we mean by Advent in action. You know, because this is one of the things that I think plagues the church at times, the church, especially in the Western world, is that we talk a lot about all kinds of things. And we can dissect love and how many Greek words there are for love and, you know, and do, or joy. And we can talk about hope and all this stuff. But what we really need to do is put it into action, right? We need to take what we know and do something with it. And so that's why we have this year, we're talking about Advent in action. We don't want to just, again, go run through, okay, hope, yeah, yahoo, and, you know, peace, okay, yeah, I kind of wish I had peace, and, you know, that kind of stuff. So on the first Sunday of Advent, Tony talked to us about hope, right? Do you remember what hope, how we're going to put hope into action? How are we doing that as a congregation? What Tony said, what we're doing specifically is we're trying to raise that $1,000 for George Middle School to give them those baskets with practical supplies for working with the social worker there, and that, you know, to 15 families that could really benefit from that. And then we're doing the Wonders Project. If you don't know what it is, I'm not going to go into it again, but it's going to provide hope. I think it's at $30 a kit. And so we're going to try to help 40 young ladies who don't have access to supplies that keep them in school. That's a simple way of saying it. So good for you. So that's what we're doing, and we're working towards that. Last week, Anya spoke to us about peace. So how are we going to share that peace with others? Do you remember the specific thing? There's many ways we can do it, but there was kind of one thing we asked you to do. We are asking you to invite people to our Christmas Eve service. So there's more invitations, I'm sure, in the back if you want some. And our focus on that evening is it's going to be a little more somber kind of a service, but or peaceful, maybe I should say. We're not going to sing "What a Glorious Night" as much as I want to. It's just really too far upbeat. So just put a moment to pause in the midst of the celebrations and remind ourselves, really, what is it all about? Why are we doing what we're doing? And to just kind of be still our hearts, and just rest in God's peace. So invite people to come to that. So today, as I've said, I'm going to talk about joy. And we have an exciting opportunity coming up for you to express that. And Anya just announced it. Next Saturday at 4 o'clock, meet here in the church. And we're going to go spread some joy to some people that I can guarantee you desperately need it. And I think for a moment, just going through and singing those carols, you know, who knows what that's going to spark in someone's heart. A memory, maybe of better times, something. And listen, we've had great conversations out there. I had a conversation last night with somebody, and I was kind of hoping maybe she'd show up here today. But she was expressing her need for God and had the opportunity to pray with her and encourage her. And she, you know, I'm hoping one day she'll come through the door. So, but we want to go spread that joy next Saturday. So be here at the church at 4. We're going to kind of run through the songs real quick because we always think we know all the Christmas carols until we start singing them, right? So before I go any further in the message, I want to share with you a little snippet from an old comic strip that I think most of us in this room will remember called Peanuts, the story of Charlie Brown, right? And I think many of you know the relationship between Charlie Brown and Lucy, right? So they're friends, but, you know, Lucy's the one that just, you know, is always giving Charlie Brown a hard time, always convincing him that she'll hold the football for him, you know, when he's going to run up and kick it. If you're familiar with that. And then she pulls it away at the last second, and, you know, down goes Charlie Brown. So this is a little conversation between Charlie Brown and Lucy. So I'm going to kind of, let's see, this will be Charlie Brown, and this will be Lucy, okay? We're going to try this. So Charlie Brown, all it would take to make me happy is to have someone say that they like me. Are you sure? Of course I'm sure. You mean you'd be happy if someone merely said that he or she likes you? Do you mean to tell me that someone has it within his or her own power to make you happy merely by doing such a small thing? Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Well, I don't think that's asking too much. I really don't. So Lucy again looking, but you're sure now, all you want is to have someone say, I like you, Charlie Brown, and then you'll be happy? And then I'll be happy. Lucy now, I just can't do it. Now that's a sad story, but that's the story of Charlie Brown, right? And that's the story of Charlie Brown in his relationship with Lucy. But the point I wanted to make from this is that we underestimate the power that we have to bring joy to other people's lives. We underestimate, I think, generally speaking, that just a word or just conveying a word of encouragement or an act of service or some kind of a, you know, whatever it might be, that could be bring joy. Because Charlie Brown, all he's saying, all he's asking for is for someone to say that they like him. And she had the opportunity to do so, and she just couldn't bring herself to do it because that's Lucy, right? Well, we don't want to be Lucy's. We're a people that, and you'll see as I get through the message here, that we should have something that many people in this world do not have, and that is joy. They don't have joy. And it's something, and hopefully you'll follow me, that as followers of Jesus, we have joy. We need to learn to just kind of tap into that joy, and then also, how do we share that joy with others? So Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, which is kind of our main verse. We're going to have other ones in the message here. But Paul, writing to the Philippians, says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. So just a few notes on this opening passage before I just start making some specific points. But first, it's interesting here. This is not an invitation to rejoice. This is a command to rejoice. Paul's not saying if you feel like it, rejoice. He's saying it's what is known in the Greek as in the imperative. In fact, the present imperative, which means I'm not only telling you to rejoice, but rejoice and keep on rejoicing. Rejoice and keep on rejoicing. I'm telling you, so he says, It's funny you guys have that response, because for me, I think I'm like, Paul, that takes all the joy out of joy, right? You commanding me to have joy? Like, what? That doesn't make any sense to me at all. But there's a reason, and I'll get to it here. So he says, I'm telling you to rejoice now and to continue rejoicing. And if I haven't made myself clear, I tell you again in the imperative, rejoice. So, as I said a few moments ago, I'm kind of like, wow, Paul, that kind of takes all the fun out of rejoicing. How can I be commanded to have joy and have that always? I mean, that's, to me, is deeply challenging. But I think this simple little passage confronts what I think is one of the biggest lies in our culture today. There's many lies in our culture today, but this is definitely one of them. And that is that you have no control over how you feel. That you have no control over how you feel. Oh, but you hear it all the time. I couldn't help myself, you know. I just, you know, I couldn't. I'm just overwhelmed. I can't do anything about it. And I understand. I want to make this really, really clear right now. I understand that life can get overwhelming. And I understand that we suffer, all of us in this room have suffered loss of some kind. And we experience the deep waters of grief. All of us wrestle with fears, depression, anxiety, and a host of difficult and wonderful emotions. And sometimes those emotions flood over us in ways that, in a sense, we almost can't help it. I understand that. They're there. And I am not asking you today, I'll be nicer than Paul, I'm not going to command you, but I'm not asking you today to deny those emotions. Those emotions are very important, actually. Grief, even, sorrow, those are things we need to pay attention to, those emotions. And we need to recognize them for what they are, and then ask God, what do I do with these emotions? What are you saying to me through this? Or what am I telling myself? What's going on in my life that has me feeling this way? Do you get that? I mean, I can't be a psychologist for you in 3 minutes of a sermon, but I need this needs to be really, really clear with everything else I'm going to say. This is not a message about denying how you feel. It's not a message about denying your emotions, or maybe the more negative, what we consider to be more negative or difficult emotions. I am the last person that will ever tell you to do that. This is not a message about just denying how you feel, stuff them down, and just run around and look like you're happy all the time. Because that's not real. Okay? But the scriptures are also clear that in the midst of those times, you can still have joy. It's there. It's in scripture. So we're going to talk about it and how that happens, or how that kind of works. We're going to touch on that here this morning. So, as I've seen, I think we can be honest about our feelings, but still find that place of joy. One of the reasons I know this is to be true is because when Paul was writing this letter to the Philippians, do you know where he was? Some of you might. He was in jail. And not a nice, cushy little jail like we have here in the United States, although they're still quite dangerous. But a place where if somebody didn't come and feed him, he probably wouldn't get fed. You know, that kind of jail. Very different from what we have here today. He was in jail, and yet he is writing and saying to you, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. So how could this be? Just look at this passage. He says, Paul knew that while he was currently experiencing a difficult and trying circumstance, that God was near. Because that's what he says. The Lord is near at the end of that little verse that we read. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Now, I think it can be taken in two different ways. I think what Paul was probably referring to was the nearness of Christ's return, or the advent again of God in Christ. So rejoice, because God is coming again. All right? God is coming again through Jesus Christ. And the reality of that is that when that happens, there will be no more sorrow or pain, right? So you may be going through a difficult time, but we can look forward with hope and we can experience great joy, a joy that's grounded in the truth of what our future holds, no matter what's happening here in this life. All right? This is important stuff. I think it is. But the second thing that I think could have been inferred here, or we can at least infer it and have a strong biblical basis to do so, is just take it for what it is. God is near. God is with us. That's what Jesus, this whole incarnation of Jesus Christ that we're celebrating here at Christmas time, is that he came to us and his name was what? It is, or is? It's Emmanuel, God with us. So God is with us. So even in the trials, God has not departed. God is there no matter what. If you are putting your trust in Christ or have put your trust in Christ, the Lord is near. Even when you don't feel like God is. And we can be encouraged by that. So Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:6, so be truly glad. Isn't that something? Just so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. So not just a few trials, in this, many trials. In fact, Peter was writing to a church that was being persecuted. And again, he's saying, but you can be truly glad. So where does this joy come from and how do we live in this joy? I want to just touch on a few things here in the next few moments. But the first thing is that we can have joy, and this might surprise you when I say this, and I'll explain it, but we can have joy in certain occasions and circumstances. Now, I've preached even myself and said, you don't base your joy in your circumstances. Now, and I generally agree with that. Don't base your joy. Don't let the foundation of your joy be in circumstances or situations. However, even while having said that, there are numerous biblical examples of rejoicing that occurs because of our circumstances or because of something that God has done, right? In fact, I think our joy, your joy, and my joy would be cultivated and encouraged if we would be more in tune with our circumstances and our situations and recognize the work of God in the midst of them and then celebrated the goodness of God even in the midst of whatever our circumstances are. Yeah, and when God is, when there is a sense of blessing or good things are happening in your life, instead of kind of, well, when's the other shoe going to drop? Just enjoy it. Yeah. Rejoice in what God is doing. And maybe sometimes we need to stop focusing on the negative things going on in our life, you know, and making, and blowing them up and making them foremost and look more for what God is doing in the midst even of those difficult things. Leviticus chapter 23, you know, can any good thing come from Leviticus? That's kind of what people, yeah, I agree. Yeah, but I'm going to just, so this, listen to what the Lord said to the Jewish people. He said, now the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land. So what's happened here? There's a harvest going on, right? And they're bringing in the harvest. And God says, when this has happened, do this. Keep the festival of the Lord for 7 days. 7 days. This is quite a party. You know, we go to a party and in an hour and a half, we're bored and want to go home. But here they're saying, God is saying, celebrate. And we're not talking about just, you know, wow, God's good. You know, this is a celebration of the goodness of God in a culture that needed that harvest to come in. And they thanked God for what was going on. And they celebrated. And you can read it all the way through. But he's at the very end, it says, I think it's up on the screen. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. And, you know, the word, just so you know, the word to rejoice at the root of it is a powerful word. There's different words that translate into rejoice, but one of them speaks of actually spinning in a circle under the influence of a violent emotion. Yeah. Yeah, not violent as in like I'm going to kill you, but violent just in the strength of the feeling. So, friends, I think there's more room. This message, now I'm going to give it to myself here, Anya, because I have found myself struggling over the last couple of years and maybe even a little bit longer. I look out at culture and different things going on and in our world today, and it drags me down. And God just convicted me and said, "No, you know what this world needs more than anything? It needs you to have joy. It needs you to take that joy and give it away to other people that need the joy." So it's good. You know, I love it when I'm speaking or preparing a message, and I feel like I think I'm going to get more convicted by this than anybody listening to me. But so I just want to say, I think there is a place to recognize in our circumstances and rejoice and celebrate what God is doing in them. Especially when good things are going on, don't be afraid to give thanks and to give praise and to rejoice in what God is doing. So the second thing I think that'll help us in this is that God fills us with joy. God fills us with joy. Again, it's in the scriptures. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's heart is to give you joy. It's for you to know joy. Again, even in the midst of those difficult circumstances, even when life is dragging you down, even when you're faced with things that are fearful or scary or whatever it might be, but as we cry out to God and look to God, and God can give us hope and joy and all kinds of things, right, that we desperately need in our lives. The third thing I just want to touch on is that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to just take a pause just real quick. I'm going to come back to this one statement right here. It's a fruit of the Spirit. I just want to remind you again that I recognize that there are many of you sitting in this room that are actually sad. This is the holidays, and so for many people, this is a very difficult time. For a lot of different reasons. You just need to hear my heart that I understand. I understand that. And I'm not telling you to not grieve or whatever is going on. I'm just going to say it again. It's really important for me but I actually believe that Christianity is just so amazing, or following Jesus, I'll say it more specifically, is so amazing that you can wrestle through that grief. And you can find joy, and they're actually going on at the same time. Okay, so I just had to say it again, because I'm hammering away. I said I was going to invite you to joy, but I think the way I am, I've probably been commanding you to joy, even without trying. But so Galatians 5:22, to get back, says that joy, love, peace, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is different from God giving you joy. This speaks to the fact that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you've put your trust in the work of Jesus on the cross and his death and in his resurrection, and you believe that you've been forgiven of your sin, then the Holy Spirit is the person of God that came and then dwelt in your heart. It's the Spirit of God that we're born again by, right? We enter into a new life. We experience the forgiveness of sins. If you have this Holy Spirit of God, if you have God in your heart, as we like to say, I don't think God is, I don't know, I'm not sure how that works actually, but God's there somewhere within us. And then what is the fruit of the Spirit? It's joy for today, right? It's joy. So if God's dwelling within you, let's not cap God. Now we could talk about all the fruit of the Spirit, but today I'm talking about joy. Let's not cap that. That joy is there within you somewhere, because I want to just, this is something we don't talk about very often, but do you know that the Spirit of God is joyful? Do you know that God is actually joyful? How many of you, when you imagine God in your mind, see God as joyful? Well, okay, you weren't actually supposed to answer that question, but there you go. It was rhetorical. But anyway, I know many times, to be honest with you, with as much as I believe this, when I still imagine God, it's a little more emphasis on his awesomeness and his, like, he's kind of scary. And actually, in some ways, God is kind of scary, quite frankly, because God's God, right? But God is also joyful. And again, there are scriptures, I don't have them here, but just I could give them to you. But there are scriptures in, I think it's in Zephaniah chapter 3, where it talks about the Lord your God is in your midst. He rejoices over you with singing. And another place says he dances over you with his love. Like, God rejoices over you. Hello? Not every single one of you that's in this room. God rejoices over you, and he wants you to know that joy. You may not even know that joy. You may not even have surrendered your life to Christ and experienced that joy. But you know what I'd like you to do through this week? I'd like you to just pause every now and again, and you can find that passage in Zephaniah chapter 3. It might even be verse 17. And look at it and just read over it and imagine God rejoicing over you. I think that's a legit thing to do because it's right there in Scripture, right? And you can find, you look it up. There's other places that speak about God's delight and joy in you. So the Spirit of God is a joyful spirit. That spirit resides within you. Nehemiah 8, verse 10, it said, Nehemiah was speaking to the people, and he says, go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord. In other words, God's joy is your strength. And I wonder if all of us couldn't benefit from a little more joy that actually brings strength to us. It strengthens the heart. I mean, just think about it. Just practically speaking, when you are down, and I understand, again, we all go through stuff like this, but when you are depressed or you're angry or you're feeling things that are very real and maybe for good reason, how do you physically feel?
Crappy.
Yeah. That's one way of putting it. Weak even. Sometimes. But when joy comes, like I'll tell you, I was walking over here this morning and I listened to the song, What a Glorious Night, which most of you know is my all-time favorite Christmas song. And when I was walking over, I'm walking down the street and I just threw my hands up in the air because I was filled with joy. That's what this song does. And I threw my hands up in the air and I felt revived. I just felt a revival in my heart. Like, this is so good, you know? And I had some things, you know, that just had kind of weighed me down. And anyway, it was good. So I better keep moving on.
Awesome.
Go to the scriptures, and you will find that the Spirit of God is obviously complex and multifaceted, but one of the elements is that God is joyful. And that Spirit is within you. So ultimately, though, and this is probably the most important thing of all, ultimately, our joy rests in God's salvation.
Yeah.
And this right here, this is where I think this joy that I'm trying to communicate to you today, this kind of joy, because the salvation of God and the character of God, who God is, never changes.
Thank you.
It never changes.
Hallelujah.
And so we can take that to the bank. We can find joy in who God is and in what God has done for us, right? We can find joy in that place. King David, who wrote the powerful Psalm of Repentance, Psalm 51. And listen, you want to talk about some crummy circumstances? What has David done before he wrote this psalm? David had committed adultery and then murdered the husband of the wife he committed adultery with. This is our beloved King David, the man after God's own heart. And because he still was, even with that humongous, incredible, I don't know what he was thinking moments, he writes a psalm, and in it he says to God, restore to me the joy of your salvation. And make me willing to obey you. Man, that is that. Now there's a man who blew it big time, but somehow he knew the heart of God. Somehow, even in all of that, he could cry out, "God, restore to me the joy of what? Your salvation. And give me a heart that's willing to obey you." 1 Peter 1:8 through 9 says, "You love him even though you've never seen him, though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls." We have joy because we trust God. And that joy is glorious and inexpressible. The last thing here is that no one can take this joy from you. Not the kind of joy I'm talking about today. Now, you might forget about it, or you might not cultivate it, but no one can take this joy from you. Jesus said, "You have pain now." So see, the Bible's very understanding about this. It's not denying our pain. "You have pain now, but I will see you again," Jesus says, "and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Amen. Yeah. When our joy is firmly rooted in the character and saving work of God, as I've already said, those things are unchanging and cannot be taken away from us. So when we stay grounded upon the firm foundation of our salvation, as we yield to the powerful influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, I'm going to quickly go through this. I have a scripture verse for everyone, but I'm not going to go, I don't want to take the time. But this is the kind of joy that the scriptures say, not me, that you'll have. Your joy will be great. It will be abundant. Your joy will be exceeding, which means just more. It just goes beyond everything. Your joy will be animated, meaning it's expressed even physically. Your joy is unspeakable and full of glory. The joy is to be constant. I can give you the verses. They're all right here. I'm just not reading them all. Your joy will be forevermore. You rejoice with awe. You rejoice in hope. You rejoice in sorrow. You rejoice under trials. You rejoice in the midst of persecutions. You rejoice in the midst of calamities. And you rejoice and you express your joy in songs. As we continue through these weeks of Advent and even going into the new year, it is my heart that you will take hold of God's joy. But not only that, that you'll put that joy into action. Tony gave a verse in his first week, Romans 10:14, that says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" And then he changed it. He put hope in there. And I'm going to do the same thing. How can they call, or how can they find joy in the one they have not believed in? How can they find joy in the one they have not believed in? And how can they find joy if they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? We are God's message. As we go out into the world and as we interact with people around us, what message are they receiving? And if you're here today and you would say, "Wow, I have no joy." And if you're a Christian, I think I've made it clear to you how you could cultivate that joy in your life. And I hope that you'll take it seriously and do so. If you have never committed your life to Christ, I want to invite you to do so today. Because I know for me, before I came to Jesus, I might have moments of happiness, but I did not have joy. Amen. I did not have unshakable joy in who God is. And if you are here today and you would like to give your life to Jesus Christ, I'll be right down here and you can come talk to me and we can talk about what that means. And I'd love to pray with you. All right. Lord, I just want to take a moment and just pray and ask that you would fill our hearts with joy. And, Lord, the fact is you have already given us joy. Help us to release that joy. We cap that joy for so many different reasons. I don't know what we're afraid of, Lord, but I pray that we would cultivate joy, your joy, in our lives, and that you would help us to just live that joy out in such a way that others would recognize and see that joy and even say to us, where does that come from? How do you have that? And we could share then the good news of all that you've done for us, Lord. So we just commit these words now to you and pray you'd lead us in this last song of celebration. Amen.